three topics in the shiur last night. The first one was Pilegesh. Where the previous week he talked about, you know, the Yisr Fadesh, etc. He wanted to know, what is a Pilegesh Taka? And he had four, we'll see, and he had five possibilities as to what is a Pilegesh. How much of a wife is a Pilegesh? So it's four possibilities. Number one, that there's no halos Pilegesh. Maybe a Pilegesh is nothing halachically. Ah, then what's a Pilegesh? A Pilegesh is, like the right it sounds like, a Pilegesh is a hechitinsa b'mtzios that she's not a kadesha. The Raya says a kadesha means a girl who's mukeres l'kol. So if someone's a Pilegesh, there's no halachic halos shem Pilegesh. It's just a Pilegesh happens to be someone who's not a kadesha, but a Pilegesh is not in and of itself a halachic concept, just not being a kadesha. That's sort of the minimal understanding of Pilegesh. The Raya doesn't say this just from his discussion, when he keeps saying how a Pilegesh is someone who's not a kadesha. And that's Pilegesh Amur B'Torah, and someone who's not with Keres, sounds like Pilegesh is just not a Kadesha. But it's not something halachic in and of itself. Now this ties into the question of the Girsa in Sanhedrin. So in Sanhedrin, Avkof Aleph and Aleph wants to discuss the difference between, it's talking about David, Shagav Orcha, you know, they have all the Dinim and Melech there in the second Perek, so Lo Yar B'Lo Nashim, so what's the difference between Nashim and Pilegeshim by David? So our girsa is our girsa says Pilegeshim below Ksuba or below Kiddushin is without Ksuba and without Kiddushin. Right? Nashim is Ksuba with Kiddushin. Pilegeshim is below Ksuba and below Kiddushin. So what is so what does that mean? So there's no ksuba, there's no kiddushin. It sounds like there's just no halos to Pilegesh. Pilegesh is nothing other than the fact that luckily she's not a kadesha, but she's not anything in and of itself. No halos shem Pilegesh on a girl. That's what it would sound like. On the other hand, there's another way you can interpret this gemara, even according to our girsa, which is mainstream halacha as well, which is that maybe a Pilegesh is below Ksuba, below Kiddushin. But that doesn't mean there's no Halos Shem Pilegesh. That doesn't mean she's not married in a certain sense. Just means she's not married with Kiddushin. She's not an Arusa. She's not Mekudeshes. But she is an Isha. Whoever heard of an Isha that's not Mekudeshes? Like Bnei Noach. Maybe Pilegesh is just a Jewish wife who's using the marriage concept of Bnei Noach. But there is a Halos Shem Pilegesh. Because what do we know about Bnei Noach? So Yushami said, Bnei and Kiddushin, that as opposed to Jews, and the Babli says the same thing, as opposed to Jews in Sanhedrin, who have a Kesef Shar Bia, who have a formal, he said, formal legal concept of marriage through Kiddushin, Goyim do not have a formal legal concept of marriage. They just have a concept of Ba'ulas Baal. Through Bia, they become married. Not as a formal legal concept, but just as a Metzias, as a as a reality. If the reality is that they're married and they sleep together, then they are married. It's a very natural concept, the Ishus of Bnei Noach. Just one second. That's what Gemara says. There's no Arusa by Bnei Noach. Even Nichnas of Lechop of Lo Nivala. Right? By Jews, A, there's Arusin, which is a formal legal status. And then, even after Chopa, you can have a Nesua before Bia. Nichnas of Lechop of Lo Nivala yet. Would be a Nesua. By Goyim, they have neither of these. Either Ba'ulas Baal, she's through Bia, she has a husband, or not. And by Gerushin, also we find by Bnei Noach, that they have a very natural, non-formal, non-legal concept of Gerushin. Right? Instead of having a get with all the rules, etc., they're just same guys that said they decide to break up, and they're Megubeshes. So maybe that's what a Pilegesh is. There is a Halos Shem Ishos in a Pilegesh. There is a halachic relationship created, but it's not a legal formal relationship. It's more of a practical, natural relationship.
The Gemara uses each the rabbos boy that was Bayal and Arusa.
Only a Jewish Arusa.
Yeah, I understand. But for that, the fact that he's a Ben Noach So therefore, those rules would not apply to him unless he had the ribui. So why does it work backwards? So by Yisrael, there's only Aliyadei Kedushin. So where do you get the idea? On what basis can you formulate?
No, because that Gemara Sanhedrin, is talking about Chiyuhei Misha. So in a climate, for a Jew, we have no ribui for a Chiyuhei Misha if I sleep with my friend's Pilegesh. No one said you're Chiyuhei Misha. But it's still wrong, right, according to the second, it's still wrong for me to sleep with someone else's Pilegesh. Because even though there's no chi of misa, and you're right, it's not the Jewish concept of marriage, but there is some bond created. There's some halachic relationship, which I am now betraying.
According to the Rabbi Eli Gemara Sanhedrin, that any responsibility for this happens to Pilegesh?
So if you take number one, it's not a chalos at all. There's zero, absolutely no responsibility to Pilegesh. Even if you took number two, and we'll see, even if you take number three, there's also no responsibilities to a Pilegesh. If it's Isha Bnei Noach, whoever heard of Bnei Noach have responsibilities in Ishas. Anyone ever said it? Ben Noach has to be Sherek, Sus, and Ona, and Mechuli, Mechuli. I mean, they might have a minute to do so. I practically, we see all the time, going to have relationships and marriage, but that's not a halachic field. So, and finally, there's no view. That is the second way to understand it. Now, there is a third possible way to understand it, which is even stronger. This is going from weak to strong, which is maybe it's Kiddushin without ksuba. Maybe Pilegesh really is very, very similar to Isha. It's a Haloshem Kiddushin. It's Erosin, it's Kesef Shtar and Bia, it has a Chi of Misa, Skilai and Chenek, and you know, all the regular rules except for ksuba. And what that means, Binyamin, is that she has the obligation of remaining faithful to her husband the same way as every other real wife, but he has no obligations to her because there's no ksuba. So it's a very one, it's supposed to Ishas, where the wife has a mekudesha to her husband, and the husband has a lot of chiyuvim to his wife. Here, it's like one way. Yes, she has to remain faithful to him, but he doesn't have to do anything for her. And that's the difference between Pilegesh, a one-way relationship instead of a two-way relationship. But it's really halachic Ishas, the same Isra Rusa as a regular wife. That's a stronger formulation. What about the Gor Sanhedrin? So there's another Gerson Sanhedrin, which says, below ksuba vikidushin. And of course, a low ksuba kiddushin sounds like there's no ksuba and no kiddushin. But if we wanted a stretch, we would say not both, just one, right? If I say I don't like chocolate and vanilla, pasha, that means I don't eat chocolate and vanilla. But the dog can say I don't like chocolate and vanilla together, but I like just chocolate. So here also, it's not kiddushin viksuba, it's just kiddushin. It's a dochak way of explaining that girsa, but the dochak, if you have the other girsa, you want to be nidchak in the other girsa, you could say, Pilegesh is without ksuba and kiddushin, with just kiddushin. So maybe, that could be a mucker for the third possibility, that a real kiddushin without ksuba. Regardless of whether or not there's a good girsa in Sanhedrin, bad girsa in Sanhedrin, there are other girsas in Sanhedrin, forgetting about the Gemara, this is not just a theoretical possibility, it's a real shita of Rashi, Al Hatorah and Chari Sarah, Vulfnei Apilaychen, Hashem Yavram, Nasan Avram Matanos, and the Rashi says, Nashim is with the Ksuba, Apilaychen is without the Ksuba, the difference is Ksuba. But Kiddushin, they're the same in terms of Kiddushin. So this is Rashi Shita. Now, Agav and Rashi Shita, we now got on to a very, very, very crucial tangent, which is the Ramban's Kash against Rashi. The Ramban says, no way, impossible. Right, the Ramban is clearly, you know, one of these two pshatim. He says, that's ridiculous, there's no kiddushin for a Pilegesh. Says, Mefurish Gemara Sanhedrin. Okay, so Rashi, maybe the third girsa, maybe the stuck way of explaining the second girsa. But the Ramban had a very strong kasha against Rashi. The Ramban's kasha was, you are saying that midoraisa, a ksuba makes you an isha, and a lack of ksuba makes you a Pilegesh. But ksuba is only drabban. That's sumi paskin, for the time being, that ksuba is only drabbanan. So if ksuba is only drabbanan, you can't use ksuba to explain a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah, when it says pilashim, cannot mean someone without a ksuba, because there was no ksuba in the time of the Torah. Ksuba is only a later invention of the Rabbanan. That's the Ramban's kasha on Rashi. And it seems like a strong kasha, but Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that this is just a very yesodistic, there's a very important yesodic lundus. That just because we call something drabbanan, we say it's only a chi of drabbanan. I mean, the Rav like to use this methodology all the time. Just because something is only chi of drabbanan doesn't mean that drabbanan invented the idea. just because something's a chiv d'rabbanan doesn't mean the d'rabbanan invented it out of thin air. That it could still be a chalos midoraisa. Midoraisa, there's such thing, just the Torah didn't tell you whether or not you had to do it. But maybe the concept is from the Torah, just the Torah left it optional. And the Rabbanan came along and made it obligatory. And that's what Rashi would answer the Rabbanan. He would say, the Rabbanan didn't invent ksuba. That's not what ksuba the Rabbanan means. The Torah invented ksuba. The Torah said there's such thing as ksuba. You can choose to have a ksuba, you can choose not to have a ksuba. If you have a ksuba, it's an isha. If you don't have a ksuba, it's a filegesh. The Torah invented ksuba, just the Torah didn't make it obligatory. What the Rabbanan did is took a concept which the Torah gave as an option and made it obligatory. I think the way the Rav says it is, it's a chiyuv Rabbanan, but a chalos midoraisa. The Rav said about everything, Shas. So, it's a chiyuv Rabbanan, but it's a chalos midoraisa. That makes a lot of sense to Rabban's kasha, really. It's not even fancy lumps, it's a very passionate answer to the Rabban's kasha. Just because the Rabbanan were the ones who told you had to do it, doesn't mean that the Torah didn't say it's a halachic concept. The Torah just said, if you go either way, and the Rabbanan said, no, pick the yes way. So that's what he says. Ksuba is, one second, ksuba is a chalos midoraisa, and midoraisa of ksuba determines, according to the Torah, whether someone's called an isha or pilegesh. Back in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, before the Chachamim, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from our Sinai and said, of course there's such thing as a ksuba. If you have a ksuba, it's this chaloshem. If you don't have a ksuba, it's the other chaloshem. Later on, the Rabbanan came and said, once we know from the Torah there's a ksuba, we're telling you have to do it. But the concept of ksuba is from the Torah. That's how Rav Lichtenstein answered the Ramban's kasha on Rashi.
So, an isha without a ksuba would be what?
A pilegesh. That's what Rashi says. Midoraisa, you can have a pilegesh without a ksuba, or an isha with a ksuba. But ksuba is very important, midoraisa.
Or an isha without a ksuba, midoraisa.
No, but by definition, without a ksuba, she's a pilegesh.
Is that an obligation, midoraisa?
What?
Is that an obligation, midoraisa?
Yeah, so you can have an isha without a ksuba, but she's a haloshem pilegesh. Midoraisa, you can have an isha with a ksuba, who's called an isha, or an isha without a ksuba, who's called a pilegesh. Midoraisa, you don't have to write a ksuba, but if you don't, then she's called a pilegesh. Midrabanan, you have to write a ksuba and make her an isha.
So according to the Rabbanan, you can't be if there's no chance of pilegesh.
What's fascinating, he didn't speak this out, but logically, of course, to the Rabban, the Rabbanan asked pilegeshes. Yeah. By saying kolabol, you know, kol pochus mimsula masayim yalman amana, or is a bilas bilas masayin echanami. So that's what we answered with the Ramban. And then he said, you don't only need to answer this Ramban, you need to answer this.
According to Rashi,
ksuba makes your wife an isha, and non-ksuba makes her a pilegesh. The Rabbanan told you have to write a ksuba. What that means is you have to make her an isha, not a pilegesh. So it turns out, according to Rashi, that pilegesh is also a midrabanan, which is fascinating.
If according to the Rambam, it means a kiddushin daraisa, so shouldn't there be a chiyuv to write a ksuba daraisa? That's the only way of having.
So, the Rambam. We're discussing Rashi now, not the Rambam.
Okay.
Because the Rambam holds that pilegesh is a belief kiddushin. But we'll get to that in a second. So we use this chiluk of a chalos min haTorah, but chiyuv midrabanan for three things. One is Rashi. Chalos ksuba is min haTorah, but the chiyuv ksuba is midrabanan. That's how we would answer the Ramban's kasha. Rashi didn't say this explicitly. Pasha, that's what you'd say. Then we pointed out the strange problem of the Rambam, which we didn't solve completely. The Rambam passed in Ksuba's Rabbanan, and he had no problem with the Ksuba Pilegesh. But the Rambam has a different problem. He says Ksuba's Rabbanan, but in the Koteret of Hilchas Ishas, he says, the mitzvah say, Lisa Isha v'Ksuba v'Kiddushin, and an Isser Lav, Shaloli Boel, below Ksuba v'Kiddushin. So the Rambam says Ksuba's Rabbanan, but he tells us the mitzvah say, Mitzvah Slosa Semidoraisa involves Ksuba. That's a kash which bothers all the Achronim. How could the Rambam say it's a mitzvah daraisa to marry with ksuba and kiddushin, and it's also daraisa to sleep with a woman without ksuba and kiddushin, if ksuba was only invented by the Rabbanan? So here we have to say something a little bolder. This is going further. For the Rambam, in the Koteret, you have to say that chalos ksuba is min haTorah. Not only that, chalos ksuba is min haTorah, even the mitzvah ksuba is min haTorah. The mitzvah midoraisa write a ksuba, but
The chov of ksuba is only midrabanan, meaning the fact that I owe my wife money. The fact that even if I don't write her ksuba, I still have to pay the ksuba. Right? There's midrabanan. The fact that I, even if I never write a ksuba, every husband owes his wife a ksuba. That's only midrabanan. It's only midrabanan that you have to pay your wife a ksuba whether you like it or not. But it's midoraisa, there's such thing as a ksuba, and there's a mitzvah to write a ksuba. He says, almost suffix still, how literally you think the Rambam. Is it really true that it's an issur d'oraisa to sleep with a woman without a ksuba? But nonetheless, the Rambam seems to imply that he goes a step further. The concept of ksuba, the concept given by Hashem on Har Sinai in the Torah, that the mitzvah of having of writing a ksuba is the mitzvah of the hilchos issurin of writing a ksuba is midoraisa, but the dinei mamonos, that I have to pay my wife a ksuba whether I like it or not, and she can sue me for the ksuba, that's only midrabanan. Only midrabanan she can sue me for the ksuba against my will. But the fact that midaraisa, I should be happy to give her a ksuba as a mitzvah if I want to be a good Jew, that's midaraisa. So that's going a step further. And he pointed out that you also, l'chora, have to say this for the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. In the Yerushalmi. Because we have a machlokes in the Yerushalmi, what's the difference between an Isha and a Pilegesh? Rav Meir says a woman is with a ksuba, and a wife is with a ksuba, and a Pilegesh without a ksuba. Rav Yehuda says a fourth pshat. There's Kiddushin, there's ksuba, but there's no Tanah a ksuba. That a pilegesh has kiddushin, has a ksuba. She's almost like a real wife. She has a pilegesh. She, you rakadish her, you write her ksuba, but she doesn't have the Tanah a ksuba, the other conditions of the ksuba. What does conditions of the ksuba mean? So we know the Rambam says every time a husband and wife get married, the husband zocha in four things, momentous wise, and the wife gets 10 things. Three of them are shirk, sos, and ona. We know that from the Torah. The other seven are ksuba and six conditions of ksuba. Right? So these various conditions, in various chiyuvim of the husband to the wife, over and above the ksuba, because the ksuba is only if they get divorced. The tanoi ksuba is even if they don't get divorced, they are certain other things and different, all kinds of other conditions. So, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says that what the difference in an isha and a pilegesh is whether you give her the tana'i ksuba or not, the additional benefits of the ksuba. So now the kasha is, everyone agrees tana'i ksuba are only drabanan. Right, the condition, the other conditions of the ksuba, even if ksuba is the right, the tana'i ksuba are drabanan. So how come you to say that the Torah uses the word pilegesh or isha? The Torah writes pilegesh without tana'i ksuba and writes isha with tana'i ksuba. Tana'i ksuba are only invented by the drabanan. So you have to say the same. You have to say the same vart that the chiyuv tana'i ksuba is only midrabanan. You only have to give tana'i ksuba midrabanan, but the chalos tana'i ksuba is min haTorah. You only have to give tana'i ksuba midrabanan. Midrabanan, you don't have to give them. But if you do give them, that's a concept recognized by the Torah. And Moshe came down from Har Sinai, he said, look, Jewish people, says there are two ways a man can relate to a woman. They can have some basic level of obligation to one another, or they can have a joint life together. They can have a joint household. That's Tanoi Suba. He says, look, Hashem told me in Har Sinai, there are two ways you can relate to a woman. You can have a joint household, or you can just have a basic level of commitment. The first one is called an Isha. The second one is called the Pilegesh. But it's from the Torah and Har Sinai that the concept of people living together with only a basic commitment, and the concept of people living together with Tanoi Ksuba, with a joint household. The Rabbanan just said, you have to have the joint household, even if you don't write it, even if you say you don't want to do it, we're going to force you against your will, and she can sue you in court to get all those rights. But the concept that it's a chalos is Mida Raisa, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda and the Yerushalmi would have to say.
Rabbi Yehuda bump up Ksuba and say that the Chiyuv Ksuba itself is Daraisa?
We don't know. He could go either way. But he certainly could, because that's an open debate in Shas. I forget exactly who the names are. So now, that's of course the fourth, the fourth way of conceptualizing Pilegesh, which is the strongest way of understanding Pilegesh, is that not only is there a kiddushin, but there's even a commitment from the husband, Ksuba. There's just only a partial commitment from the husband of Ksuba, and not the full commitment of a joint household of Tana'ei Ksuba. So now we have the four ways of understanding what a Pilegesh is. As well, we have this yesod that you can have a chiyuv d'rabbanan. But the concept is really from the Torah. Just the optional concept from the Torah became a chiyuv d'rabbanan. And we have three examples of that. The Rambam, now we're going to figure out where the Rambam is. The truth is the Rambam is really in the fifth way. See, someone in the middle. The Rambam's 2.5. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, for sure, he says, on the one hand, he says straight out, below Kiddushin. Right? We know there's a ton of Magen Mishnah who claims the Rambam said with Kiddushin, but the Rambam says, straight out, has bluff per dalal chadalad, a Pilegesh means without Kiddushin. So straight out, a Pilegesh is not really a chalos isha. So we have to just think that he's like the Ramban, he's like the Ravid, that there's not really much of a chalos to Pilegesh. But on the other hand, when the Rambam talks about a melech taking a Pilegesh, he says, Miyatolo vikonosa. He is kone through yichud. He is kone via yichud. So it really is a kinyan ishus. It's not kiddushin. There's no chiyuv misa. There's not basur kaliyon to hektish. Not a high level of kiddusha of v'nisar arusa. But there is really a kinyan. There is a marital relationship, a halos pilagshus, a halos relationship. There's a Kenyan, the Rambam says, you should nicknames. She's just not nicknames as much as an Arusa, but there is a Kenyan. And it's more than just the issues of Bnei Noach, because how do we know? By Bnei Noach, it's Mefurish. Yichud is not Kona Bnei Noach, only B'ulat Baal. It says Mefurish, even a Chuppah without Bia is nothing by Bnei Noach. Because only Bia is a natural relationship. Yichud is a symbolic legal act. So the Rambam holds that even though there's no Kiddushin in Ksuba, she is a wife. And not only that, she's inquired in a legal, formal way, more so than in Bnei Noach. So, therefore, the Rambam seems to, in between, she's more of a chalos than just Bnei Noach. There is a formal act of kinyan, but it's not as strong a kinyan as kiddushin. It's just a lesser level of kinyan. And a second proof to this is that the Rambam says, this is a striking line. The Rambam says a head yoke can't take a pilegesh, only a melech can. A head yoke is not allowed to take a pilegesh except for amma ivriya la'afri yod bilvad. That's the only kind of pilegesh that a non-king can have. So now, first of all, this Rambam it's an amazingly surprising, radical view of the Rambam. We would have said, anyone in the world would have said, well, that was your word by amma ivriya. She ends up being your wife like any other wife. It's just a funny process that got you there. The Rambam seems to say something very radical, that no, an Amar V'yachar Yiyot is not just a regular wife who came about through a funny process. She's not a regular wife. She's a Pilegesh. The only way, if you're not a king, the only way to have a Pilegesh is by an Amar V'yachar and be Miyai her. But she's not a regular wife. She's a Pilegesh. So, I mean, all the Achron discuss this out. So the Rambam, number one, holds a really radical, unbelievable shita, that an Amar V'yachar after Yiyot is not a full wife, only a Pilegesh. But forget about that for now. What does the Rambam say? One thing's clear. It's Mefurish in Shas and Rambam that Amma Ivriya has Kiddushin. She is an Arusa, whoever is Boel her is Chayiv Misa. It's full Erusin. Nisuin is a little unclear, controversial, but full Erusin. So the Rambam can compare a Pilegesh, can say one type of Pilegesh is an Amma Ivriya after Yud, who Taka is full Erusin, full Kiddushin. Then we understand. The Rambam says a regular Pilegesh without Kiddushin. But since he can compare a Pilegesh and sort of extend the concept of Pilegesh, say someone with Kiddushin can also be like a Pilegesh, and that clearly shows that he has an idea there's a real Kenyan in a Pilegesh, a Kenyan less than Kiddushin. But then it makes sense. If a real Pilegesh is a Kenyan smaller than Kiddushin, then he can also compare it to someone who has a Kenyan Kiddushin. If a Pilegesh was nothing, he would never compare it to someone who has Kiddushin. But if a Pilegesh is a half Kiddushin, is a three-quarters Kiddushin,
then it makes sense. You can say a taka for a head yod, you can do a pilegesh with 100% kedushin. Because then they're at least similar concepts. So in fact, there's any similarity between yod kedushin and pilegesh shows that the Rambam is an in-between shita, smack in the middle. It's more than just natural ishus, it's kinyan, but it's not a full kedushin kinyan. Those are the different opinions we had about the nature of pilegesh. And then the other thing we just mentioned is taka. So these are the nature of pilegesh. How about for a non-king we're talking about, for a hedyot? Is it mutter usher to have a pilegesh? And we had a whole range of different shitas. You could have a million different shitas as to whether a pilegesh is taka usher or a mutter. Ranging from, you could say it's totally mutter. You could say pilegesh is totally mutter. This is the opinion that we're looking to be quoted from the Shut Ramban. The Shut Ramban seems to say, yeah, totally mutter, have a pilegesh, no problem. He didn't say this explicitly, but this is also the very famous opinion and a whole peculiar parsha of the Shilas Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Right? When he actually said, let's do more of this. Let's be proactive in promoting this idea. But he said, totally Hetzer Domer, anyone in the world can take a pilegesh, no chash whatsoever. That's the Ramban. Then the Rivash said, minor iser. Again, not Chas V'Shalom in the way of the Mezalzel, but the Shut Rivash. Because what did the Rivash say? It's an exera of the Bezin Shel David. Bezin Shel David goes around Yichud of a Pnuya. So we would have thought, well, that means Bia of a Pnuya must be really bad. And they were going to go around Yichud. Said, no. Only Bezin Shel David. They were going around the Bia of a Pnuya. They asked for Pilegis. It's only Asr because the Xer of Bezin Shel David. Which is really, if David Asr was coming to Asr Yichud, then it doesn't seem like it's such a terrible Avera. It's on level of Yichud. Yeah, don't do it. It's like this or Yichud. Again. It's a serious answer, but it seems to be still minimizing the nature of that Isser, making a Isser Drabbanan and making it a later Isser Drabbanan in the time of David HaMelech. Now, it could be a little more serious. And the Rambam says, Pilegesh is Asr Behed Yot. We have no idea what he means. He might mean an Isser Drabbanan, right? Might mean, an Isser Drabbanan. Perhaps it could be a Lav of Kedesha. This depends on last week, right? We asked, what did the Rambam mean by Kadesha? Is Kadesha only someone who's Keres Lakol or anyone not married? The Rambam meant anyone not married is anyone without Kedushin is a Kadesha, then a Pilegesh could be a Kadesha. Or perhaps there's some room in the middle. Maybe there's an Isra say, which was the Rav's Pshat, it's not only the Rav's Pshat, lots of us heard him say it, as Rav Lichtenstein pointed out on the right bit. The writer has a funny line. He says, "Ein b'lo malchus lo iser lav zoi pilegesh ha'ksuv b'torah." Ein b'lo malchus lo iser lav. Why didn't you just say mutter? So you could say, as the Rambam said, there was malchus lav. He says there's no malchus lav. But a lot of our chachamim are dying from the Rav's book. There's the right interpretation. No, ein b'lo malchus lav. There is an isra say. What's the isra say? Ki yikach kishisho v'ala. There's an isra say to do the mitzvah say to do kiddushin. If you take a pilegesh, you're not violating a lav, but you're violating an isra say. So in terms of the chalos pilegis, there's a range of views. In terms of the hetter pilegis, there's a range of views from a lav d'oraisa with malchus to an isra seim d'oraisa, an isra rabbanan, or maybe hetter gomer. He suggests that, he says, but this is a very loose suggestion, that min astam, you might think, the more that it's really chalos ishas, the more likely it would be to be mutter. The more that it's really not a chalos, the more likely it would be to have at least some level of isra. So there might be some loose correlation between these two questions, but Labdavka, certainly, not everyone works out that way. Okay, and then a little history. Okay. That was about it for the first part of Shir. Questions?
Are there other cases where you could mock up Marzas for an Isra Asay?
I think it's common. Yeah. The next part of Shir dealt with the question of Ha'isha Niknes, right, as we're listening pointed out, the first pair of Kedushin is not only about Kedushin, it goes to all Kinyanim. Right, Isha, but Ivri, but Kanani, Behema, Vechuli, all different types of Kinyanim. To what extent does Kedushin really belong in the realm of Kinyanim? Is it really a Kinyan? The man is acquiring a wife? Or, two basic ways of understanding Kedushin, it's really a Kinyan, the man is acquiring a wife? He said, from the modern day perspective, really, for most people in the modern world, only one side of this Kakira makes sense, and the other one seems a little strange. Okay, but that's people's perspective nowadays, but they said, Batak, it's really Machlokes Rishonim. So, is it really a Kenyan, or is it no? It just means it's a creation of Ishos, of an Isra of Ishos, but the way you create it, technically, since you need a legal way to create it, is borrowed from the realm of Kenyanim. So clearly it's a Maisa, it's a Kenyan like Maisa, but is that because it's really Chalos Kenyan? Or it's really not a Chalos Kenyan at all, it's a Chalos Ishos, which is created by a Maisa that is similar to a Kenyan that is learned from Kenyanim. And this really, I mean, he just gave it the tip of the iceberg here. This underlies so many discussions in Tosfos and Rishonim and our Perek, and I'm sure we'll come back to it again and again in this stop. But he pointed out this was a Machlokes Rishonim. So, it's really a Chalos Kenyan, or it's a Chalos Ishos created by a Maisa of Kenyanim. What does our Gemara mean to say? What is this Aisha nickname? What's going on in this parrot? So he says this seems to be in Machlokes in a few places. He pointed out that the bottom Tosos on Gittin Daf Beis Amud Aleph, I know not everyone got the Marmakomos here, the Gittin Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Tosos Der Maschel V'in, the bottom Tosos on Gittin Daf Beis Amud Aleph, he asks the following question. Says, now let's, hopefully we have this background, everyone knows that there's an Kiyum Shtaros, right? If I bring a Shtar and it's signed by, you know, Joe Schwartz and Sam Greenberg, so I could have just made that up and signed any names there. How do I know? Or I could have just, you know, have real people and fake their signatures. How do we know they're real signatures? Otherwise, ridiculous. So, midrabanan, maybe in some cases midoraisa, and kiyam shtaros, I need to have Adam testify that these are the real signatures of the real people. Right? Like what we call now notarizing. So kiyam shtaros. So, that's what the Gemara deals with, at least according to Rabbi, I think, or Rava, in the beginning of Gittin. If you bring a get from Medina Sayam, the shliach needs to testify that he saw it being signed properly, because otherwise maybe you won't be able to notarize, to authenticate these signatures. So Gemara goes through a discussion there. The Gemara says, what's the problem? The problem is the Baal might come and be me'arer and say it's forged. And then what's she going to do? So Rabbi said, have the shliach testify, so she'll have a defense if the Baal claims that it's forged. So what's masra from this Gemara pretty clearly? Tosis comes out. What does Tosis take out of this Gemara that's relevant? That in Gittin, Minastam, she doesn't need to authenticate the signatures. Only if the Baal is Ma'arer, if the Baal claims it's forged, then to defend herself, she needs to be Mekayin the Shtar to authenticate the signatures. Tos points out, obviously, I mean, you can't imagine otherwise, but Dinim Mamanis, you never say that. But Dinim Mamanis, if Yigal's here, and I bring a Shtar saying he owes me money, so either he's Modeth, a true Shtar, or he's Ma'arer. What if Yigal's away? I come with a Shtar saying he owes me money, take it out of his bank account and give it to me. So would anyone say that we say, oh, well, I can take it out after all, no one complained? No, of course I need Kiyam Shtaros. Indeed, in Mamanos, even if no one objects, even if no one's Ma'arer, I always need Kiyam Shtaros before I can take someone else's money. So why, Tosfos and all the Rishonim wonder, in Mamanos, if I want to come collect his money for his bank account, even if he's not here, I need to prove it's a true Shtar Kiyam. But again, if a woman wants to come and divorce herself, and the Baal's not here, if the Baal's not here, she can do it without Kiyam Shtaros, right? And Eretz Yisrael, maybe get Eretz Yisrael and no Ma'arer, it's kosher without Kiyam Shtaros. So why is that? So Tosfos goes through and says non-lumpish answers. I mean, his main answer is very nice practically. He says, because by Mamanos, we say let's be on the safe side and require Kiyam Shtaros. By get, we're afraid of Egon, we don't want an Agona, so we bend the rules a little to prevent Agona. Okay, very practical. The Ramban says a more lumpish answer. The Ramban says the repulsion. By Storos, if I had a Star saying, Yigal owes me $1,000, take it out of his bank account, of course Bezin says go be kind to Star first, because they're trying to protect Yigal. If it's me against someone else, doesn't he deserve protection before I take his money? There's two people, one guy's going to win over the other one, so Bezin has to defend the other one. But by get, Ramban says there aren't two parties, not the wife versus the husband. The husband's not losing. By Mamanus, Yigal's losing if I collect the Shtar. So I better prove it's a true Shtar before Yigal loses. By Ishos, no one's losing. It's not the wife versus the husband. The husband's not losing anything. He was a He was a man, and he's still a man. The only change for her, she used to be Ashes Ish and Asura. Now she's going to be a Pnuya and Muteris. It's Be'n Adam Lamakom. It's just an Isser Shaila. If I come with a Shtar Isur between me and Hashem, then why shouldn't anyone trust me? It's my business and Hashem's business. So there are...
Why Peiros forever?
What?
Isn't that a loss?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure what he would say. It's a good question.
This is the concept of what?
He might. It's a good question.
If you assume that there's no kin.
No. Right. Okay. The Ramban might very well say that in the Hanami. If she wants the payroll stack, she does have to make it. But the Ramban says a very important result. The Ramban says Dover Pashat, the reason why no one defends the husband and says go prove it's a true star is because the husband's not about Dover. It's not his business whether this woman is married to him or not. It is emotionally. But halachically, he doesn't own anything that we have protect his rights. So that is the Ramban. The Ramban clearly says straight out there's no kinyan. Getting the phase of an aleph. Says husband is not a baldover. The husband is that he has no rights here. So therefore, we don't need to protect his rights. What? So it could be in a chum. She wants to collect the ksuba. Maybe she would have to time to get. I'm not sure. You have to look in the Gemara. It's a good question. So, although, okay. That's what Ramban says. So why if the husband comes to be ma'arir, does she need kiyum shtar? So the husband's nobody. Then even if he claims it's forced. So everybody looks at it, no problem. If the husband's ma'arir, he has the right to be ma'arir, not because he's an owner of the wife. He has the right to be ma'arir because he's the one who wrote the shtar. Allegedly. So there's a rule. Anyone who wrote the shtar is allowed to claim it's forged. That's if he claims it's forged. The chus iler comes from just being the bala shtar. Just being the person whose name is in the shtar. But we don't proactively defend the husband and require tiyum shtaros because he's not a barach, he's not a baldover. He doesn't own anything. He doesn't need our protection. That's what Ramban says. Now the kasha is, why does Tosfos not say that? So, as Rulotzin is fond of pointing out, whenever someone's based on two assumptions, the people who argue could deny either assumption. What does the Ramban assume? Ramban assumes, A, only a baldover. We only require kiyum to protect the baldover, right? Requiring kiyum when there's no error is only to protect an owner. And B, husband is not a baldover. What does Tosfos have to say? Tosfos can deny A or B. Either Tosfos can say A, we always require kiyum. Why did Tosfos not give the Ramban's answer? Maybe Tosfos just doesn't think baldover, then he does kiyum. And the Ramban seems to assume that the requirement for kiyum starts a little bit fun of some sort of tanina of error. He says no. Tosfos said, we always require kiyum. It's just a good way to ensure truth in society. We always require kiyum. And that's why Tosfos didn't answer anything about the baldover. Since every star needs kiyum, the only reason this must not is a special rule of Iglin. Or Tosfos can say, I admit that we only require Iglin when there's a baldover. We only require kiyum to protect the baldover, and the husband is a bialim here. Husband does have a kinyan in the wife. Again, obviously doesn't mean own the wife like in the most literal sense. Not a gufa kanoi, but he owns something here. So Tosfos, we're not sure. Does Tosfos not give the Ramban the answer just do you think kiyum shtaros has nothing to do with ownership? Or does Tosfos say no? Because you think the husband's not an owner, I think the husband is an owner. So we're not sure which way Tosfos goes in Gittin. Buddy pointed out that's in Gittin. But in Ksubos, we do know which way Tosfos goes. Because that's in Gittin. When we get the Ksuba stuff, Beis and Beis, it's really stuff Beis and Aleph going on, stuff Beis and Beis. The Rashi is on Aleph, Tosfos on bottom of Aleph, Tosfos on top of Beis. But when it comes to the beginning of Ksubos, right, for some reason, we're only quoting like the phases of the Sephthas. That's just because, this Fakira ties into almost every blot in every Masechta Nashim. But we might as well just give an example from that phase. So, in the beginning of Daf Beis and Ksuba, they have this long discussion about the rule of Higiyas Man Velum Nisus. Ocheles Mishalal, well, Ocheles Mishumo, we don't have a country Mishnah Chronah. The rule is that everyone knows in the old days they used to do Kiddushin and then 12 months later do Nisuin. If the husband is negligent and after 12 months doesn't do Nisuin, then he still has to pay support for the wife. Right? Normally in Kiddushin, the father still supports the daughter. In the period of Nisuin, the father says, I no longer have to buy her food. Now you, the husband, have to buy her food. So if 12 months comes, the husband, they tell the husband, it's time, you're hired to get married. And he says, no, I'm busy, I want to stall, I want to delay. You say, okay, but you still have to pay. So, Ocholchos Mishalo, he still has to pay her food bill, her grocery bill. Now, the Gemara has all these questions. What if, you know, it's not negligence part. What if she was sick? Or what if he was sick? Or what if she became a nida? All these different things that would prevent them from getting married on time. Or what if it wasn't Wednesday? You know, all these different things that would prevent them from getting married, which is the time for the first mission students, that would prevent them from getting married on time. Is it the husband's fault or the wife's fault? So the Gemara has the following question. The Gemara says, what if the wife gets sick? If the husband gets sick, then it's more of a stavra say it's his fault. It's not his fault, but on the other hand, it is him. What if the wife gets sick? So the Gemara says, I'm the one here, but you pasha. Pasha says, the wife is sick and that's why they can't do the chuppah, then it's her problem. That's pasha. The Gemara says, no. Maybe even if the wife is sick, the husband is considered at fault. The husband loses and he has to start writing out checks for her groceries. Why, if she got sick and couldn't get married on time, should he start having to pay money? So the Gemara uses this phrase of nistapcha sadehu. Right? Nistapcha sadehu. His field was flooded. Meaning, even if she got sick, it's his fault because his field got flooded, right? If my field gets flooded, then what it really means like the washed away or something. My field get washed away and I lose all my topsoil. So the field's the one that got sick, but it's my problem. So it's his problem. What does this phrase in the Nistapcha Sadehu mean? Why should, if she gets sick, it be the husband's problem? So Rashi says this has nothing to do with any chashiva. Rashi neutralizes the implications here. Even goes so far as to sound like the Ramban. What was the Ramban say? He said, Rashi, you know what Rashi in Nistapcha Sadehu means? Nistapcha Sadehu just means it's tough luck on the husband. Why is it tough luck on the husband? Because since it's time for him to pay, even if she gets sick, it's still his tough luck. So Rashi says Nistapcha Sadehu is a t'nai. It's not that he has to pay because Nistapcha Sadehu. It's Nistapcha Sadehu because he has to pay. Just to say, the Rabbanan is saying, you have to pay because the rule, the Rabbanan is, the husband always has to pay. The law says the husband has to pay for the groceries. And if the husband asks, how can I pay for the groceries if she got sick? The answer is tough luck. These things happen. So for Rashi, it's just a phrase saying tough luck. It's just telling the husband, don't start complaining, don't be an eel, but start saying, how could it be that I have to pay if she gets sick? That's the way life works. You have an obligation, and it so happens she got sick, but you still have the obligation. So for Rashi, it's just a low plug. Low plug, the husband always has to pay for groceries after 12 months. And if he says, but it's her fault, the answer is tough luck, that's life. So Rashi says it has nothing to do with being a sadeh, nothing to do with, say, Ephra, nothing to do with, it's just an expression that means tough luck, don't, like, expect any pity from us. That's what Rashi says. But the Tosfos takes it the other way. Tosfos says, it's not that the Nistapcha Sadehu means tough luck because you have to pay. No, you have to pay because, we say, the husband, you have to pay because it's your sadeh. We say, we use the concept of mazel, right, not mazel meaning luck. Mazel meaning luck, everything happens in the Shemayim. And everything that happens good to you is your fault, Menashemayim, for being good. Anything that happens bad to you is your fault, Menashemayim, for being bad. I mean, take a note. I mean, it's philosophy. So what do we say here? Tosa says, you know what the Nistapcha Sadehu means? It means the woman's health, if the woman got sick, it's the Baal's punishment from Shemayim. The woman gets sick because the husband deserves sickness, Menashemayim. And that's what the Gemara meant. The Gemara, even though the woman is sick, it's the husband's fault. Not Rashi says the husband's tough luck. It's the husband's fault. Yeah, Rashi says it's his tough luck. Tosfos says it's his fault. It's his fault she got sick. Why? Because Minas Shamayim, they looked in the divine record books and said, this guy deserves a disease, give it to his wife. Why are they giving it to her if he deserves a sick? This is the answer. Because she's a sadeh. After all, think about it. If someone crosses a house burns down, think it's the house that exacted in Shemayim or the owner? If I did the owner. Right? Part of, we know from the Golas Negoim, etc., that if a person deserves something bad for Shemayim, it could happen to him, or to his house, or to his clothing, or to his animals, or to anything of his. Right? Anything that happens to something of mine is because I deserved it. So, the wife of the husband's son, if she got sick, it's because the husband deserved it, and that's why the husband has to pay money. Because he was such an avarian, and he made his wife get sick. So for Tosos, what we see, there really is a kinyan. Right? She gets sick because she's part of his property. So there really is a kinyan. She's his wife. And Tosos says, don't say the reverse. He's not her husband. I know modern-day English would say that. In modern-day English, we have slightly different conceptions. We have Ramban-like conceptions. But Tosos saying no. He says, he's not her field. She's his field. Right? She wasn't going to him. He was going to her. And the rush, Tosos rush, says even super strongly, he says, Kinyan Kaspo, Ha'isha he Kinyan Kaspo, Shal Adam, I think the Lashon is Ka'abdo, Shoro, Vachamoro. Is that the Lashon? That's those words all there in the bottom of Amud Aleph and top of Amud Beis in Ksubos. He says, it's very positive. She is his Kinyan, just like his Shor and his Chamor and his Eved. If they get sick, it's because he deserved it. Likewise, she's his Kinyan. If she gets sick, it's because he deserved it. So that's a fundamental machlokas how to read this Zachos today. But obviously, Tosos, and for sure, explicitly in your face, the Tosos Rush, says it's Mamash Kinyan. She is owned by the Baal. Again, I don't know necessarily they mean you have to take it to the extent. I think Rebbe says he doesn't mean Mamash to Abdul Shor Rachamor. L'chor, it's not a Kinyan Haguf. Right? There's a few Rishonim say based on the Sugyas later on. It's not Mamash a Kinyan Haguf, perhaps. But nonetheless, if you compare it to Abdul Shor Vachamoro, even if you mean Lavdavka, it's still a pretty strong statement. Even Lavdavka is saying a lot. So that seems to be a very fundamental machlokas here. And then the last thing he discussed, or the next thing he discussed, is Taka, the Rush has this phrase of Kinyan Kaspo. Right? As the Rush just said, Kinyan Kaspo Shal Adam, Tosus Rush Stam. But he wasn't making up the phrase, he was alluding to a Gemara concept. Which it says in Shas, in many places, including Kiddushin Daf Hayim and Aleph, that our Dvar Torah, our Rusav Astral Ophelos Madruma, it's Midoraisa that once I'm a Kaddish a woman, if I'm a Kohen, she's not. Right? If a Kohen is a Kaddish a Basi Shrol, she can eat Truma. She is a Heter of Truma. Midoraisa. Because it says, the Kohen Ki Ken Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo Hu Yokal Bo, which obviously literally means if a Kohen buys a slave with money, that slave can eat Truma. But we darish him in that pasuk as well, that if he's a Kinyan Kaspo, if he's a wife, she can eat Truma. The question is, what does this phrase mean of Kinyan Kaspo? We see Rashi here is Lishitasin, because we have this phrase Kinyan Kaspo, which explains why she can eat Truma. So we're listening pointed out, this is only the Basi. The Yerushalmi has a difference, and Yerushalmi says, Kol Tohar Viveisva Yochalo. So, right, the pasuk says Kol Tohar Beisel Chalso, and everyone knows Beisel Zuvishno. So the Yishalmi says no, it's because of Beisel Zuvishno, not because of Kinyan Kaspo. But the Babli says Kinyan Kaspo. I don't recall where that Yishalmi is. The Babli says Kinyan Kaspo. So what does it mean Kinyan Kaspo? There are two ways to read Kinyan Kaspo. Is it referring to the result or the process? The Tosos Rush reads Kinyan Kaspo as meaning the result. She is Kinyan Kaspo. She is his monetary property, like Abdul Shor Vachamoro, which shows is a real Kinyan. So he reads Kinyan Kaspo as referring to the result. She is a result. As a result of Kiddushin, she is his Kinyan Kaspo. However, Rashi, what she tells me, just like the Stafos today, Rashi says she's not really his Sadeh. Rashi also neutralizes this. Rashi says it's referring to the process. Where is this? Rashi, it's in Ksubas Daf Nun Chesamad Aleph, Dibur Maskel Bahai Kinyan. Ksubas Nun Chesamad Aleph. Rashi gets the following kasha. Rashi says, fine, if he was Mekadisha with Kesef, then she can eat Truma. What if he was Mekadisha with Shtar or Bia? How do I know she can eat Truma? Says, oh, there's a hekesh, it's Kushabayif Ladadi. All the different three ways have a hekesh to one another. So therefore, if he was Kona with Shtar and Bia, she could still eat Truma because of the heckish between Kesef and Shtar and Bia. So we're listening just to Aston Rashi. He made a very good deal. He said, hold on a second. What's the Havamina? What's Rashi's Havamina? The Havamina is, if I gave her a ring, she can eat Truma. But if I gave her a Shtar or did Bia, she can't eat Truma. What? A wife is a wife. No, it's the same Arusa. The result is the same for Kesem Shtar and Bia. Why do we have a Hav? I mean, if there's a difference for Truma, we need a Hekesh to teach us. It's the same, it should be a Svara, it should be a Svara. Me Svara, it's the same wife, an Arusa is an Arusa, an Isha is an Isha, no matter how I remember Makadosh her. She's king and castle either way, the result is the same. So it must be to know, Rashi understood that, although I seem to recall from my youth that it could be that Rav Gusman in the beginning here wants to have a Havmi, the result could be different. But that's very, very radical. Rav Gusman wasn't taking that into account. That's very radical. So he says, what is Rashi? Rashi said, king and castle doesn't mean my monetary property. Kinyan Kasva means historically someone who I did a Kinyan Kesef with. It's referring to the process. Kinyan Kasva is a drasha that anyone who I did a process of Kinyan Kesef with can eat Truma. And then we understand Rashi. That only means if I did a process of Kinyan Kesef. How do I know if I did a process of Shtar or Bia I can eat Truma? For that we need a Hekesh to teach me that she can also eat Truma. But Rashi obviously interpreted Kinyan Kasva doesn't mean as a result she is my monetary property. Kinyan Kasva means as a process I underwent an action of Kinyan Kesef. And then we see the Hagmi, that's only Kinyan Kesef, having a Shtar and Bia. And the Hekesh teaches me also an action of Shtar, also an action of Bia. So for Rashi, again, he's Lashitasi, he's neutralizing these things, these words that sound like there's a real Kinyan. He always has another angle on this. Tachla Sadeu doesn't mean Sadeu, it just means tough luck. It's a low fluke. The Kinyan Kasva, it doesn't mean she is his Kinyan Kasva. It means he did an action of Kinyan Kesef. And that's why we have a Havamina, that it wouldn't apply to Shtar and B, and we need a Reboy. The last thing he says, what about the Rambam? The Rambam, in Hilchas and Dorim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha, we'll have to go up, Halacha Tes. The Rambam leans towards the Kenyan perspective. Why? Because the Rambam discusses the set of twin dinas. The husband says, I am answering the Hana of my Tashmish, the nedra on my wife, it doesn't work halachically. The wife says, I'm answering my body, the hanah of tashmish on my husband, right? The husband says, I'm answering my body that my wife can't sleep with me, it doesn't work. The wife says, I'm answering my body with the nedra, the husband can't sleep with me, it doesn't work. So I might have thought that it's two equal dinim, it's symmetrical, just give one general explanation. But the Rambam doesn't. The Rambam says, if the wife tries to answer her that the hanah of tashmish of her on her husband, it doesn't work, because it's as if I said, Binyamin, you have a sandwich, I'm answering your sandwich on you. I can't answer your thing on you. I have no right to answer your property. So the wife can answer herself on her husband because she's his property. The husband can't answer himself on his wife because the Rambam said he's meshubah to his wife. He owes it to his wife to have onasa, to engage in relations with her. So, but the Rambam changes the question. By the husband asking to the wife, he said, because the husband is shubah, he owes it to his wife. He can't get out of the debt with the nether. By the wife, he says, because she's answering the husband's property on himself, because she's the husband's property. So the Rambam seems to imply that the husband just owes the wife, that he's not her property. The wife does more than just owe her husband Tashma Shavita. She's that knuya to her husband for Tashma Shavita. So the Rambam seems to imply the husband has a kinyan in his wife. Again, it doesn't mean literally Kavdash or Rechamor, or even figuratively. But still, there is a Kenyan here, to whatever extent. As we know, Zolkez, Dekla, Peyrosa, there's all kinds of funny Kenyanim and Shas. But clearly, it is a Kenyan. That is the second part of Shir. Now, the last part of Shir, well, Chazer very briefly, was the question of the status of Kiddushei Kesef, which I think is going to be maybe expanded on a little tomorrow in the Chabura, for those who are participating. So everyone will be able to participate well, because we're holding the Sugya. So, as everyone knows, there's a funny Rambam. The Rambam says, although for some reason my Palm Pilot doesn't have this gear set at all, according to Chabad, the Rambam never said anything of this sort. I'm not exactly sure why. The Rambam just said, Shlosh Dami Divrei Torah, according to my Palm Pilot, but according to all the other versions of the Rambam, the Rambam says something very peculiar, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he says slightly differently, and in Hilchas Ishas Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, and he clarifies it, of course, in a Shot, and it's pretty clear. The Rambam says, Bia and Shtar, I mean, Shtar is a little bit of a steer in his youth, he changed his mind about Shtar, but Bia and Shtar are Minatora, and Kiddushei Kesef is Midivrei Sofrim. So the Rambam says this wild Kiddush, even though Argamar goes on with all these Tzokim v'chuli about Kesef, and Stay Ephron, and Inkosef, etc. And I said, no, Kesef is only Midivrei Sofrim. So what does the Rambam mean by that? So let me point it out, there's a machlokas, there are two ways of saying what the Rambam meant.
What does the Rambam mean? Kiddushei Kesef. The Rambam says, Midivrei Sofer, he says this is part of a broader issue of what does the Rambam mean when he uses this funny phrase, Midivrei Sofer, in a way different than we're used to most people using it. There's a lot of literature, there's actually an entire book called HaRambam al Divrei Sofer, and what the Rambam meant by that phrase, and a lot of other Mefarshim on this. But what did the Rambam mean? So it seems to be Machlokes between the Rishonim and the Acharonim. The Rishonim says, Mamish the Rambam meant what he seemed to say. Kiddushei Kesef is only Drabbanan. If I'm mekadesh my wife by giving her a ring, Mizoreisha, she's a Pnuya. Just that the Kaddish Drabbanan to treat her as an Ishus Ish. Although, if listening pointed out that it doesn't mean, like some crazy people want to say, that nowadays all marriages are only Drabbanan. Chachorah, the Rambam would admit that once I do Nisuin and there's a Bia, that Kiddushei Bia, that creates Doraisha. The Rambam's not saying that no one's ever married according to the Torah. He's saying when you give your wife a ring under the chuppah, that's not daraisa yet until you go home and engage in bia, and then it becomes daraisa. But the Rambam says it's only amru chachonim ki chazutei bekesef, the Rambam says in Perek Gimel. It's only midivrei sofer. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph halacha beis, he also says in Perek Gimel halacha chaf, there are two girsas. The one girsa is midivrei sofer, and there's another girsa that says midivrei Torah upeirusha midivrei sofer, but that seems to be a later inundation to sort of defend the Rambam and make him not a little less strange. Pasha, the Rambam said, we said in all the Makoros, Kesef is midivrei sofer. So it could be this is how the Ramban understood what he meant. The Ramban says, and it's totally wrong. This is how the Rambam understood what he meant. The Ramban is in the Hasogos to say for HaMitzvah Shorish Bet. Where he says, the Ram, you mean it's Rabbanan and she's really not married? Midoraisa, it's only Nisr Rabbanan. If my friend gives a ring, is Makadish Bekesef, and I sleep with a girl, that's only Nisr Rabbanan? That's crazy. She thinks the Ram means Rabbanan. He says, but it can't be. The Raivit in her Gimel of Elphazishas also says, ain't Pirtza Gadolni, so you're making a Pirtza, you're letting people think it's only Nisr Rabbanan because of an adultery. He understood the Ram of Mamish meant it was only marriage to Rabbanan. There's an Asmach to the Alma, there's an Asmach to the Alma. And he says that's crazy. So the Rishonim understand the Rambam very radically. It's literally Midrabanan and disagree. The Achronim, starting with the Kesef Mishnah, and a lot of the Achronim at that time and later, who want to defend the Rambam, say the Rambam really admits it's Midoraisa. He just has a funny usage of words. The Rambam has a funny way he uses phrases. He uses the phrase Midorei Sofer to mean anything Midoraisa, which is based on Drash instead of Shat. So they say the Rambam had a funny vocabulary. In his dictionary, it was a non-standard dictionary where the word Divrei Sofer meant a daraisa that was darshan from a pasuk. But he really means daraisa. He really has no strange shita. His shita is the same as everyone else. He just uses funny words to express it. That's a very fundamental machlokes. Was the Rambam really saying something machodesh, or was the Rambam just using funny, misleading words? I mean, he didn't think they were misleading. It's just everyone else didn't follow his lead, and he really means the exact same thing as everyone else. But the Raivit does point out, the Raivit said in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Isha Salachacha, he says, you Rambam, you think it's Rabbanan, you made that mistake in understanding the study of Tainas the Kaddish Bekaspa. So the Raivit points out that if the Rambam really holds it's Rabbanan, that the Raivit says that's based on this sugya, where it appears like sixth place in Shas or something, or let's see, mentioned Gittin Daf Ksubas Daf Gimel, and which is Gimel Amin Aleph, and Gittin Daf Lamed Gimel, and a few other places in Shas. Also, the concept of Kinu, the Rabbanan can uproot Kiddushin. Right? I mean, everyone knows this concept of Kinu, Rabbanan, the Kiddushin. You know, it's big politics nowadays. The Rabbanan can undo a Kiddushin. The Gemara asks, Akin or Rabbanan, the Rabbanan took away Kiddushin. Tain as the Kaddish Bekaspa. I understand how the Rabbanan can take away Kiddushin Kesef. Kaddish Bia, Ma'ikul Amimra, how can they take away Kiddushin Bia? And then the Gemara answers. But what was this Kasha? I understand that they can take away Kiddushin Kesef. So the Rashi quotes his Rabbein, both of Shawashi say, I understand that they can take away Kiddushin Kesef. Kesef is only the Rabbanan. Of course the Rabbanan can sit and undo it to Rabbanan. Everyone knows the Rabbanan are allowed to go against the Rabbanan. It's called Heimamru Beheimamru. So, based on that sugya of pain as the gospel, we understand how the Rabbanan can uproot Kiddushei Kesef, which there are many different shatim on, but one shot where both shall Rashi. Rashi doesn't accept it. He says, this is my Rebbeim said, and it's crazy, it can't be. But the Rabbosu shall Rashi, who are also trying to skid all over and rid of Gershom, etc., they held, based on this sugya,
that kiddushin ketzel is mamish rabbanon. That's why it was kenach, it was nicha the rabbanon got rooted. It's only if the kaddish rabbanon, nothing in the Torah at all. Totally bottle, null and void, zero minat Torah. Purely a zera the rabbanon. That's how the Rav also Shravashi understood it. If the Rambam also means that it's the Rabbanan, then the stomach, he got it from the same sugya as Rav also Shravashi. One thing that Rav Lifni pointed out is that even if the Rambam really means the Raisa, someone holds it's the Rabbanan, which is Rav also Shravashi. So the Rambam might or might not hold that Kedusha Kesef is the Rabbanan, but Rav also Shravashi definitely holds Kedusha Kesef is the Rabbanan. I think that there are some Mangiachron who try to say Rav Moshe Shravashi don't hold it either, but that's very, very dochet, and that they really can't be if you look at the Lashonos in all over. So Rav Moshe Shravashi holds Kedusha Kesef is.
What's, why the discrimination against
Kesef? It's only Rabbanan, okay. Well, that's.
Can you explain that?
No, but come tomorrow 11:45, maybe we'll have another some explanation of that. But, and the simple way why discrimination is because. Bia says Mechomesh, Chas, Tikiyina, Vesheisha, Uva, Ola. Star, it also says Mechomesh, but Kosovo, let's say for Christos, not a Star Kedusha, we mentioned Star. Kesef, Tikiyina, Tikiyina, Stay Ephron, and this, and that, and I would have said this and that is because the Torah Shemal Peh, we're not Karaites, we believe that Chazal give us the interpretation of the Torah based on Yud Gimel Midot, and that's the Raisa. But some people could say, that's only not Smachta Midrabanan. So that's the range of shitas here, but again, Rav Lifni said, he thinks everyone would be moded that once they get married and live together, it is a chalos ishas midoraisa.
Does that have anything
okay,
to
that's
the issue. Does that have anything to do with whether or not
that it's that he did for a chalos ishas? Lavdavka, you're going to be around tomorrow morning?
Time?
11:45?
I don't have school tomorrow.
Come at 11:45 and all these questions will be answered.
Who's
I want to ruin the chabura.
Who's giving the...
One of the chavirim. One of the chavirim. He's giving a chabura on this topic tomorrow. We're going to discuss it in 10 minutes. He's going to discuss it at a little greater length and answer a lot of these questions.